bit there. I don't want a quote from Joel Osteen here and a quote from T.D. Jakes there. I got to have the word for myself, because that word is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. So every day with Jesus is what? Sweeter than the day before. That's why when David said he's my honey in the rock, I understand that when you're between a rock and a hard place, you need something sweet. You need something to satisfy you, because nothing else will satisfy you except for the word. And so while I'm in where I am, while I'm cramped up, while I'm in this position and this situation, all I need is a word from the Lord, and it'll be sweet enough to satisfy me. You know, sometimes you can drink water, but you let somebody make some good Kool-Aid, you'll drink till your stomach gets full. You'll say, I shouldn't have drunk all of that. I'm starting to catch a cramp in my stomach. Why? Because it was sweet to you. You can't tell me that sweetness don't satisfy. That's why you got married to her. That's why you took him in. It's because he was sweet. And so you need something sweet to satisfy your soul. Your soul ought to crave for something sweet. And so you know what I got? I got a sweet tooth for the word. When I hear them nuggets from the word, and I say, man, that's some good drippings, but I'm not satisfied with a drip here and a drip there. I need to get the whole honeycomb. And sometimes you may get stung trying to get the bee's honey, but I think I'll take it anyway, because even after I'm stung, I know the sweetness of the honey will satisfy me, and I forget about the sting. I forget about the swelling, because I know one day it's going down, but the honey's still sweet to me. Oh, come on and say yeah. See, we got to be sacrificial in order for you to get that honey. You got to be sacrificial. You got to take a chance, baby. You got to say, I'm going to step out, and hopefully I don't get stung. But if I do get stung, at least I got the honeycomb. Come on and say amen. At least I got something to prove that I've been through it. I didn't steal it. Somebody say amen. I didn't get it from him or her, but I got it through a lesson I learned. Now I know how to handle the bees and still get the honey. What are you talking about here? The bees are like the devil. He's waiting to sting you, to make you run the other way. But because I want the honey so bad, because I want the honeycomb so bad, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty after the honeycomb. And because I want it so bad, I don't care if I gotta climb a tree, I'm gonna get my honey. I don't care if I have to go through the bush, I'm gonna get my honeycomb. Don't care if I have to tear the wall down, I'm gonna get my honeycomb. So in order for me to get the word, I don't care how far I gotta drive, I'm gonna get my honeycomb. I don't care if I gotta sit through a long service, but I'm gonna stay till I get my honeycomb. I gotta be satisfied by the word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. We need to know that by the word of God, he warns us. Yes, he does. And guess what? But if we keep his word, if we receive his word, he said there's great reward. One scripture tells us that there's a re-reward. Means that he rewards you, then he rewards you again. I'm all for rewards. You know, sometimes everybody can get an award. Oh, come on and say amen. They got perfect attendance awards. I showed up. So you can get an award. But when we start talking about a reward, that means you did something to excel. You went above and beyond. You got something that other folks couldn't get. Come on and say amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcasts can be heard every Monday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
How true it is. Would you get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word again. And we thank you for the Holy Ghost who shall take the text and tailor it to meet us where we are and lift us to the place you'd have us to be. We give you glory today for how you shall challenge us and charge us and even change us because of your word. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. God bless you. This wonderful day of celebration to the honor of mothers calls us back to the word that never changes. In Proverbs 31, is where we're going to walk through, if you will, and we're going to measure motherhood from Proverbs 31. Now, because this whole chapter is dedicated to mothers and principles that we can practice, and especially that honors them, I'm just going to say Proverbs 31, you may be seated. One of the things that I love about this word that we have before us today is that it is a real account about a real mother who has demonstrated virtuously principles and has walked before her son, the king, in such an honorable way that he literally is inspired of the Lord to pen this and bring record to the ways of a virtuous woman. What a wonderful example we have in this 31st chapter, and she has been called a superwoman, a superhero, a pristine example. She's been also called an untouchable woman because of all of the wonderful things that this man says about his mother, and is a realistic view of what she portrayed before him. One of the things that I want us to realize is, my brothers and sisters, is that this word brings to life the reality of what God can do in a submitted and committed life unto him, and the impact that a godly mother makes upon her children. I think sometimes we discount the fact that what God has done in a godly mother, and especially in this Proverbs 31 mother, is not practical or realistic today. I think we discount the fact that this word is a record, and it is real, and it can be done if we so yield ourselves to the principles of God's teaching. And I think it's important to realize that even if you can't make the mark, you ought to try not to miss the mark. In other words, I think it's a wonderful measuring pole. I think it's a wonderful way to say, no, I'm not perfect as a mother. No, I'm not perfect as a woman, but I do want to reach, strive, do all I can to be as perfect as I can. And certainly I think this represents, again, the measuring rod that will help you to accomplish that goal. Let's look at, if you will, some of the things that this woman is characteristic of in measuring motherhood against this word. One, she seeks always the good of her husband, which develops his trust in her, found in the 10th verse through the 12th verse. Look at what it says. Who can find a virtuous woman? Now look at where it starts. It starts off with the woman before it becomes the mother. Okay? It develops in the relationship with her husband. For her price is far above rubies. In other words, it starts off with the woman herself. It starts off with the fabric and fiber of her holistic being. In other words, she doesn't get with a man to make her. She's made when she gets with the man. She knows who she is. She knows what she is. She's capable of carrying her own share of the load. And she knows that as a result of her being found, let me say that again, as a result of her being found, she ain't looking for no husband. She ain't looking for no man. Because her price is far above rubies. And here's what she know. She don't want no anybody. She don't want no everything. Looking at, hey, little mama, can I holler at you? No, I don't want nobody hollering at me. No. She's respectful. She respects herself. She's not going to bring herself down to a low level just because time has passed and folk may say, oh, child, you're not married yet. You ain't got. No, because God knows, and she knows as well, that because she's so priceless, she ain't looking for a piece of man. So sometimes it takes God a minute to develop her. Good thing, too. Her Boaz. Yeah. Listen. So he starts with her. He starts with her, knowing that she is somebody. Now I want you to go on and see, the Bible says, verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil or ruin. Listen. Because he knows the essence of who she is, and what she does is not because of him, truly, but is because of her and who she is, that he is able to safely trust in her. In other words, and this is one of the things that men have got to learn in relationships, etc. You know, if God's going to give you a help meet, it's going to be a woman who can help you. Me. Whatever his vision, whatever his role, whatever his purpose, whatever his plan is for your life. And one of the things that you've got to know is, if God has given you that gift, then you need to know, you need to trust in what God has done in her, to her, through her, for her, to help you. You can't do it all, nor should you try to do it all. And yet you need to know, as the head, you've got other meaningful parts to your body. And the head can't do it all. And what is right and within the responsibility and roles of the helpmeet, trust that she will do it to the best of her ability, and that you will be enhanced and encouraged and even fulfilled by allowing her to do what God has blessed her to do in your life. Good case in point. If you have a certain weakness, just because you're the man doesn't make you weak, because you submit to the wife who has a strength in that area. Now, you may be able to bring home the bacon, but you might not be able to fry it up in the pan.
But she'll fry it up in the pan and never let you forget you the man. If she's the right woman. In other words, you may not know how to manage it. You might not know how to make a dollar stretch. You might not know how to go in the paper, get coupons. And you might not know how to shop at the right places to get the most out. You might not know how to do all of that. But put it in her capable hands and watch her make that thing stretch and do some wonderful things. You know you ain't put but a few pennies in her hand. And it's amazing how she makes that money. Well, anyway, you get the point. Her husband doth safely trust in her. Listen, and there's no fear in him of spoil. In other words, he knows she's going to do the right thing with what he gives her. He knows he don't have to worry about waking up one day and finding out he's bankrupt because she didn't take care of the business right. He knows he ain't got to worry about when he gives a bill money that bill collectors one day he homesick get 1,000 calls. They talking about come and pick up the car, come and pick up the dog, come and pick up. What? And yet you see no fruit of where the money has gone. You know, he don't have to worry about that. His heart doth safely trust in her. And has no need of spoil. See, he knows that she knows how to handle things properly and do things decently and in order. So he has no fear that his empire is going to collapse because his wife is not all she ought to be. I want you to see something else. Secondly, she's industrious and therefore has no time to be a busybody. Look at verse 13. I want you to see this through 15. The Bible says, she seek wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's industrious. In other words, she finds with her own ability to do the things that she can do to better the situation, to bring income into the family, to make what is there better. She's a blessing and she's not lazy. She is not one who is given to being served as much as she's willing and desirous of serving. Even those who serve under her are blessed. They are blessed. Not only because of her kindness and not only because of her generosity and compassionate spirit, but they learn so much from a woman who is filled with an industrious spirit. In other words, she's always looking for something worthwhile to do. Now, can I tell you how better women would be if they had that kind of spirit and not one of the busybody spirits? One of the problem with so many women who's given good women a bad name is the fact that they've spent so much idle time. I'm talking about mothers and wives who've been blessed enough to stay home, because it is a blessing to be able to stay home and take care of your husband and your family. It is a huge blessing. But some have not taken advantage of that in the right way. And so they fill their minds with all of those stories and all of that mess on television. And so many hours of that day are filled with, they can't even get stuff done because they got to watch their stories. And everything they do comes on commercial breaks between one show after another show. And they're so worn out at the end of the day, not because they've been working, but they have worked their minds with all the mess they see. And between that, they take and telephone, child, turn TV on. Now, listen at this, because it starts with the show. Yeah, who that remind you of? Mm-hmm. And before you know it, their minds and all of the mess goes on. Listen, a virtuous woman don't have time for all that foolishness. She's about that betters, that develops, that increases, She's all about that brings to another level and that enlarges, not about that diminishes and that does the opposite of good. And so it's important to realize that she's an industrious woman. She's so busy taking care of her business that she ain't got time to mind nobody else's business. She's so busy looking after her own affairs and the affairs of her husband and her household and her family that she doesn't have time to be nitpicking in anybody else's. God bless that woman. Hallelujah. Look at this. Thirdly, she is constantly looking after the welfare of her family. Again, in verse 27, it says, she looketh well. Now look at this, because it's speaking all through this work about the various things and noting them individually, and yet it comes back and says again, reaffirming, verse 27, she looketh well, somebody say well, to the ways of her household. In other words, she makes things well by looking well after the things of her home, the household that she's responsible. She's not responsible for the people next door, across the street, down the street, around the corner, across the neighborhood. She's responsible for what goes on in her house. In her house. She's the one that makes the other women and the other men say, why you don't do like so-and-so does? I mean, his shirts ain't never wrinkle. He got crease in his socks. I mean, she just looks at, I mean, the children. I mean, she must iron the ribbon she put in her daughter's hair. I mean, you don't see hair out of place. You don't see. I mean, children are impeccable. And I got to say this about, again, and this is clear as well. Women, can I tell you, you do yourself a disservice when you come out looking like you stepped out of Vogue and your child look like somebody from some refugee camp. Because when children go out, they are the real representation of how you take care of your household. I don't care if they're going out and playing in the backyard. They ought to look like they've been cared for. And if they got dirty, it ought to look like they just got dirty. Some of y'all gonna catch that on your way home. Well, look, let me move on because there's a lot to say about her. She has good judgment when it comes to the financial well-being of her family. Again, if you look back into 16 and 18, we've read that already. But again, it says, verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. Now listen to this. She knows how to make wise decisions. She knows how to make good investments. And all of these are not Wall Street investments. But she knows the kind of investments that will bring back good dividends for her family. She knows how to invest in people. She knows how to invest in things. She knows how to invest in a good deal. On and on and on and on. She knows how to do these things. She knows how to stretch and manage her money. Verse 17 says, she girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. In other words, she is so forward thinking and fruitful in her doings that she's even productive when other women have said good night and put out the lights. Sometimes her greatest work is done when everybody else is gone to sleep. And she's still doing things, finishing up the day and preparing for the next day. It's amazing why women call this a superwoman. Look at this. I want you to see this enough. She spends the time in ministering to the needs of those outside her family. Look at verse 21. It says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Again, it says, verse 20 rather, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Now, she doesn't neglect her own household and her own household looks good in and outside of the house, but she also reaches, stretches, moves beyond the confines of her own house and blesses folk outside of her house. But I want you to note one thing first. Her house is taken care of first. First. You think her husband have a problem with her blessing folk when he's blessed? The children are blessed. The house is blessed. Do you think he has a problem sharing with the poor and the needy when she has learned how to manage money? And she said, well, babe, I think we ought to give such and such. He said, well, babe, if you think so, that's a good idea. Because what he knows is she's going to give, and she's going to give, listen, most times in this case, out of surplus. Because she has worked and she's put aside, she has managed, she knows what is due, she knows what is coming due, and she knows what she's got expected for what that may not have been planned to come due. And out of all of that, she's still got some extra. And it makes her want to reach beyond where they are and what they have and help others who are poor and needy. That kind of person God smiles richly upon. Because God calls us to assist the poor and the needy. But you've got to know that she's going to be selective, because she's not going to cast her pearls before swine. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. What a virtuous woman knows, and a woman who knows how to help and bless outside of her family, is that she's not trying to give away something that's going to increase in more degradation. In other words, she's not going to give $5 to the alcoholic to go buy more alcohol to hurt himself. Now, what she will do is offer him a plate of food, take him something cool to drink, but not support his addictive habits. She's going to be selective. She's not going to give a mother money to go waste on crack cocaine when her children need clothes. She's going to buy some material. Find out the sizes of the children. Make them some clothes so that the clothes go directly to the need of the children and is not redirected on the misfits of the parents who are misfits. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying here today? In other words, she's going to really bless the poor and the needy even when they don't want the blessing that she's blessing them with, because they want to take what she has to offer and use it in a way that will not be beneficial for the family. She knows how to look beyond the mess and still be a blessing to those who really need. See, a lot of times children can't be blessed because the parents are messed up. But she knows how to bless the children even when the parents are messed up. Look, I want you to see something else. I want you to see the sixth thing about this woman and the characteristics of her. She is honorable, wise, and kind. Let's look again, verse 25, 26. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Now listen to this. I told you she is honorable, wise, and kind. Look at her clothing. I love this analogy dealing with her character. Strength is her clothing. Listen again. Honor is a part of her dress. They are what she puts on as a covering on a daily basis. In other words, this is connected with the reality of not only what's on the inside, but what is shown and seen on the outside. She does not hide this. She wears her honor and her strength as clothing. When they see her, they see the beauty of her. They see it in her smile. They see it in her ability to go beyond the call of duty. They see it in her ability to be kind to those who need a kind word, to be a listening ear. She is the one they seek out when they've got problems and when they need counseling and when they need prayer. She is the one that, because she wears her strength and her honor as clothing, people who see those strong characteristic traits